there, this is Evie, and you're listening to the podcast Let's Reflect on That. Today is the first episode on this channel with a guest, and I'm actually so excited that I have Julian for two main reasons. First, he's also a coach, and it's just nice sometimes to talk with a colleague. It's a different approach and different sense of understanding, I would say. I like it. And then the second reason that I really wanted to talk with him is that he has this different approach to things than me, and yet I really agree with him on how important it is to be mindful and present with whatever you're doing. So I think he can bring more color to the things I talk about from a different perspective, and it might be interesting for you to hear as well. So for today's episode, the structure sort of is that we're gonna talk about productivity, but through Julian's lenses. And then if we can talk about meditation, that would be great. And ideally, I would love if he shares some practical ways how he uses mindfulness for his coaching techniques. How does this sound to you, Julian?
Awesome. That's looking forward. Because that's essentially a lot of things that I talk about anyways all the time. So I'm curious what it will happen during this conversation, what comes through and what needs to be said.
Cool.
Feel free to jump in though. I'd love to have a conversation rather than an interview. So.
Okay, good. I was preparing myself for an interview. So that was actually a good clarification.
Yeah, a conversation is always better, I think, than things can just emerge rather than just my perspective. Sometimes things can grow and be created in a conversation. So that's awesome. I like that.
Cool. So we were talking about productivity the other day with you, and when I was saying that I like to coach people into being more productive, getting things done, and just being more efficient with their time, and I left it at that, you made such a good comment about how it is not a good idea, or you don't really agree with the idea of just being productive for the sake of being productive. I really liked it. So do you want to share with the audience or just talk about it again? And I think I have a couple of more questions to add up to that.
Yeah, I think what's interesting to know is that I have exactly followed that thing of just being productive because I need to do something, because otherwise, you know, you're lazy or you don't do anything. So I've come exactly from that position. I don't know, it was just such a thing from also my parents, my upbringing, that just if you don't do anything, you're lazy. You're not resting, or you just don't do anything. You're in a way lazy, like a bad connotation to not doing anything. And luckily that changed over the years, that I questioned it all the time over and over again. Why am I doing things? I had then the problem of procrastination all the time. I was like, oh, damn it, I can't do this because I feel not in the mood, or I can't really progress towards it. It's like, okay, what's this? I'm struggling with this. How can I not be procrastinating anymore? And so, yeah, and then over like years and starting to figure this out, maybe I don't actually like those things that I need to do, or I do them for the wrong reason. And so when now the buzzword is just being put out to, oh, being productive. It's like, okay, what for? Why do you want to be productive? And I asked myself that question many times. And it's actually a fun exercise. Like, okay, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to be productive? And ask yourself the why question several times, like 7 times or something like that. And then you come back to a reason why you actually do that. So maybe it is because you want to make more money or have a bit better and bigger business. Could be. And then you go, okay, because then if you want to have more money, what do you have the money for? Why do you want to have money? And then you continually ask further and further, and then gets to, okay, wait, I actually do want to be able to do something with the money. I was like, okay, let's then look at what is that life that you actually want to create that you need the money for? Because just accumulating money for no reason is, again, just doesn't make you happy. So once you get to those steps, it's like, okay, once you get behind the big why and what you actually want to do here on this planet, in the world, then you can figure out how to progress towards that. And I think that's a way better way to figure out what's the most essential, the most important thing for you to progress towards your bigger goal, towards your bigger vision in life, rather than just being productive for the sake of being productive.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And this is a very good point to make. I believe in this mindful productivity, because the whole thing with like motivation, to me personally, is kind of, I believe in the myth of motivation, actually, because it's just a feeling, right? Doing something when you feel motivated for it, meaning that you're doing something when you feel like it. I don't feel like it for anything in my life consistently. Even if it's the best thing on earth, like even if it's my favorite thing, like I love walking the dog. I don't feel like walking the dog every single morning, but I still do it, right? Because there is a reason for it. And this whole thing with reason is, to me, the long-term way to do anything. Because not only you have a because, I do this because of that, but also kind of like gives you a sense of, I know who I am and what I'm doing, kind of like a presence in that moment, not just like going with another flow. Because I feel like productivity sometimes can be just replacing one flow with another, writing my homework even, like, right? And you're just getting into it. If you don't have a reason for it, it's just being mindless, busy with something, distracting yourself from thinking, even from being aware of what you're doing, why you're doing it. I think productivity can be, in a way, a form of distracting yourself. What do you think about this?
Productivity can be a form of distracting yourself.
Yeah, from thinking.
That's very interesting.
From like being present in the moment, instead of like sitting with yourself and figuring out, why am I doing what I'm doing? Where do I want to go with this? Instead of having that awareness of who you are and why the heck do you even care for that job or for that homework or for that dog even, those awareness and reflections take mental effort, for example. And I unfortunately think many times people avoid that mental effort and they get into doing because they can show up after that they did something. They weren't lazy. They weren't a waste man. They did this and this and this. Box is checked. Everything is fine. But is it?
Yeah, like what that sounds to me a little bit is the productivity or doing things for the sake of getting some sort of attention or some sort of recognition or status through it. When you like constantly want to, okay, I did that. I'm great now because I did this. Yeah. It's like, okay, I mean, if that's what you go for, it's fine. It's always like, what is the thing you want to reach, or want to go for? And maybe also like going a step back before we go further, because we talk now about productivity. What does that mean to you right now?
To me?
Yeah, what is productivity? Because I right before the podcast, I quickly Googled it and there are different ways how you can describe it. And so I was like curious, before we go into, okay, productivity is good, bad, we need this for this or that. What is that? What do you understand as being productive?
To me, at this point of my life, productivity means having the self-determination to get the things I want to get done. Basically, achieving what I believe is important for me to achieve and sticking with it. Not being distracted by self-doubt or by procrastination in terms of like, I'm not ready, it's not perfect, it needs more work before I show it. For example, all those like doubts and like insecurities that make me not do the thing, productivity is like the opposite of that. So just deciding, okay, this is important to you, you have decided that this brings you value and meaning, that is why you want to do it, and keep doing it. To me, that means productivity. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Because when I Googled it, it was a very economical description of it is the ratio of input versus output. So the less input you put in and the more output you get, the more productive is something. And in terms of, yeah,
in a way, like what is even
that's different? Exactly. So they, in that sense, they're quite similar, I would say as well. And I actually would like to, or for me, it's going a bit more, what I find productive is probably closer to the word effective. Mm-hmm. when you think about, I'm doing the important things that bring me further, that progress me towards the vision that I have for myself, right? That's then there the part comes back in what you described. You got to know yourself in order to know what is your vision for your life, for in your direction. And once you have that figured out, even 3 hours a week can be the most important hours that you spend towards reflecting, writing down your vision, having a great experience with your family, just connecting to who you are. Can anything of that sort can be the most productive thing towards your vision. And at least in my perspective, it's not just the thing of, oh, I did tasks. I did this kind of work and I made some money. It's like, yes, along your lifespan, you will do a lot of money. You will spend it for random things you regret afterwards. But you want to progress towards, at least in my perspective, obviously a psychologist, coach, you want to progress to a better human being. And a better human being is for me one that I understand myself better. I know who I am, and I know in what I want to bring to the world. So what's my mission? Why am I here on this planet? And once I have that a little bit clearer, I can sort of align myself and go towards that direction rather than doing tasks and taxes and writing down stuff. And I don't know, some of those things can be feel productive, but are not helping you towards your actual big goal. And that's, to me, a waste of time, right?
Totally. I call this being busy without actually getting anything done, in the sense of this effective actual progress, actual self-improvement, actual development, just being busy.
Yeah.
Totally.
So I think that was very, very important to realize, okay, being productive does not mean I do a lot of tasks. That's where I've before saw, oh, I have a big to-do list and can check off like 5 out of 7 items. Like, okay, I'm getting closer. And now it's like, oh, I have like 1 or 2 things in my calendar that I really want to do that day. If I check them off, I feel good.
Yeah.
Like today was actually writing or reframing, going back into crystallizing my vision for the future, for my personal, for my family, for my finances, and for my work life. And I was like, okay, if I do that, I've done everything I need to do today.
How do you usually do that? Are you journaling or are you using meditation? What is your approach to reflect on your vision?
Yeah, it's. I think I use different ways from time to time. Today it was journaling. So I just, I had planned in my calendar. I put myself in a nice state, had like a short, what is a movement. I was actually dancing a little bit before to like get me into a nice state and of flexibility and just joyfulness a little bit, because that's the direction I want to bring my vision as well, right? And then I just started journaling. With one area was family, then another area was health, another area was work. And then I just was feeling, okay, what is important for me? How do I want to feel about this area in my life? And not about, okay, what, it was actually interesting. I didn't know where this was going, the journaling today. And so it was really, it came out that I wanted to feel a certain way about my work. I didn't say how many days of work I want to have. I didn't say how much money I want to make out of it. I wanted to feel how I feel when doing those things. And so that's, I let it basically out. I asked myself the question, how do I feel about family in that area? How do I feel about the finances or want to feel? And then I just write it out and see what comes. And then I later on assess it, again, crystallize it, feel what resonates and what doesn't, and adjust it.
Sounds really, it aligns with a lot of things I've already read or like heard from other people. I truly believe that, for example, writing helps you think and develops your thought process. But also, obviously, with journaling, it's a bit more on the reflection and getting to know yourself. I want to go to the meditation a bit, because I have more questions that I'm not so familiar or understanding yet. I myself have tried a few times. I'm one of those people who says I've tried and it doesn't work for me, because I think I expect a certain level of peacefulness in my mind. And as somebody who has been diagnosed by 3 different specialists with ADHD, and I'm not fully accepting it, but I just don't get the point of being peaceful and not moving at the same time. See, like you said earlier, you try to dance a bit and like move and put yourself into like the right mood. When I do yoga, for example, I can concentrate and just I manage to like be focused and more present because I'm moving and there's something going on. Then I can focus a bit better and like be on the task I'm doing and be present with the task I'm doing. If I make an effort, otherwise my brain is everywhere. But if I try not to move and focus, it's like out of control. How do you do that?
There, the question is, what do you want to achieve with meditation? What's your goal?
What I thought I want to, but I think this is not the actual reason, but what I thought initially that I want with meditation is to learn to be able to control that impulse to go with the flow of my mind. Oh, that thought occurs. I'm going to follow it now. I kind of wanted to like be able to control a bit this and like, okay, now I want you to stop and I want you to focus. And I thought I want to learn this control over the sparring thoughts. But I don't think that this was the real reason when I really got into it and like started like listening to some, you know, guided meditations. And what I found is that actually it gives me a sense of reminding that I'm here, breathing, alive and existing, and it's a nice feeling to just remember you're here, you know, and you breathe, and this is not gonna continue forever, so appreciate it because it's happening right now, right here, and it's so beautiful and it's so short, and I can't keep it. Like a snitch in Harry Potter, you know, you see it, you want it, you reach out to grab it and it's gone.
Okay. Yeah. It is really difficult, especially like in the beginning when I started out, it was in this like way of being more productive. I was reading like business books and I was like, okay, some business people meditate. I guess I'll try it.
Oh, okay.
So I had no clue.
Meditating what it... from business books.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not see that coming.
What was that like? It was just like, oh, some people, like some of the most or biggest CEOs like meditate 20 minutes in the morning. I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. I don't know. And for me, it was actually very interesting that after like 15 minutes of meditation, I was like having like some tingling in my fingers. Like I did quite often body scans and I was like, oh, wow, I feel stuff more intense. That was just very interesting. It was not enough to keep me going. So that was like, I don't know, I did it once a week and I was like, okay, it's getting boring. I don't know. I don't know why I should do this anymore. It's a funny feeling, but why should I continue? And at some point I went to Hong Kong to study abroad. And then I met a dude who suggested me afterwards I should maybe go to Nepal. It's a cool country to go to. Like, okay, sure. And I went. And just out of curiosity, I wanted to have like a retreat or something to like get off social media because I felt my brain was just too cluttered, too much going on. And so I was like, okay, some sort of retreat without my phone. That would be great for like a week or something. And I found this and it was for 10 days. We weren't able to use electronics. So I was like, okay, great. Awesome. And a bit of meditation. Great. I just went there and didn't know it was so rough. It was literally 10 days of 10 hours a day meditation, seated the whole time, like 2 to 3 hours at a time. And it was so fucking rough. It was so difficult. And then you notice so much how your mind is just going off and doing things. And, you know, at some point you realize, yeah, okay, I can just let it go with it. I can just let my mind go nuts, go berserk and go just any direction. Or I can just try to call it back whenever I feel like it and whenever I notice it. And after that experience, or already while that experience, I became so much more aware of the things that were happening, of any sensations, of the taste of the food, of just being more present. And questions came up of, who am I really? What are my values? What is important to me in life? And it's like, oh, wow, okay, let's see. So I wasn't anticipating that, actually. And so what meditation for me in that sense means is actually a tool to rediscover myself, to learn something about myself, to notice what happens if I get angry about myself, of like the thoughts going away and I just follow them and notice after half an hour, oh, I've just been in a spiral down in thoughts and didn't notice. How do I react? What's my natural way of being then? And what kind of thoughts as well? So there's a lot of things that happen when you meditate, especially for longer, what comes up from your true essence, from who you are, of the thought patterns that you have. So for me right now, it is a huge tool to rediscover myself, to notice what's going on at the moment, what mood I'm in, but also to realign from past states that I felt like really aligned with myself, to go back into it, to use it for gratitude. Because recently, like, that became very, very apparent to me, was that gratitude is the shortcut to the heart, to myself. And so I'm using that now in every meditation to come back to myself. And so there's many, many, many ways that you can use meditation. One way is to just become aware and use it as a mindfulness exercise. And that's already great, because most of the times we are so stuck in our brain that we don't even notice we're constantly there. There's just no other, at least it was for me, there's just no other world than being with my thoughts and being constantly thinking about something. And so that was like the apparent thing for me recently, to really step out of that and come back into, what do I feel right now? So I use meditation right now rather than just following the thought or just holding it or controlling it or doing something with it. I use it right now to come back into feeling. Because that is essentially, for me, the easiest way to stop thinking. Mm-hmm. Instead of like holding the thought or trying to control it, I just let it be. But I focus on my feelings, on how I am right now, on who I want to be right now. And that helps. That's, for me, the easiest way to control control my thoughts, is to come back to my feeling, to my heart, to the essence, to whatever you want to call it, the gut feeling, the just sensations of the body. That's when I come back to the present moment.
For how long do you usually meditate? Are you meditating every day?
Yeah. So it's basically literally the first thing after getting up, what I do, that I just sit down, take whatever, like the meditation timer, maybe this necklace with some beads to like have some things to count for, being grateful for, and then just literally sit down and meditate for. I set the time, I think, always for 15 minutes, but usually meditate for 30. So that's currently the everyday routine, to like meditate for about 30 minutes and then doing some either workout or some dancing, singing, to get me back into then this movement, the flow state, into just moving the energy in the body.
So you start with the meditating, mm-hmm. and then you get into some movement to, as a transition before you enter the world and the day.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's really important too, because for me, like, I think that's really important to say, dancing and singing is such a weird thing. It's so like hippie, and it's so like, what the hell am I doing here? And so much fears and anxiety came up when I started like to move and to dance. I was also not a party person to like go there and dance. So it was like a really strange thing. And well, it changed really, really rapidly when I had the ayahuasca experience. And in there, I noticed how much my body, my energy moves when I move my body, when I move my voice. Like literally, you bring things to vibration, to vibrate. And so that really brings me into a nice mood. I stop thinking because I'm just with the music, just moving randomly, funkily. Luckily, nobody's seeing me and I will never record it. but it's just a nice way to really get out of the mind. That's right now, literally what I most of the time do, is also in coaching sessions, to stop thinking, because we thought everything over and over again. We are in this stuck thinking patterns. And the only way to get out is to come back to feeling, to what you really want to connect to your vision, to yourself. And that's usually now what I use meditation for.
How long did it take from your first time thinking about starting, you know, reading those business books and approaching the meditation, and then today when you do it daily?
I think when I started already daily right after the Vipassana experience, mm-hmm. and that was, I think, 3 years ago. But that was also, I think, 3 years after I started meditating.
Okay.
Or just, I don't know, once a week or something. So it's been a while since meditation was around in my life. Yeah.
Do you still have those days, or is it just such a strong habit that maybe you don't, but do you still have mornings when you wake up and you feel like something else is right now more important because, you know, some stressful situation happens and it's just something else that takes your attention away. You just don't have the time, you know.
That still happens. Yeah. I do that. So like sometimes, I don't know, I sleep too long and then I don't have time before the first caution call or something like that happens, obviously. But I try to then somewhere in the evening or somewhere during the day to at least have somewhere 5 minutes to just settle myself again. Like just taking, doesn't matter sometimes that much the time, but rather the intention to actually do it and to do it even for 5 minutes. Like, okay, now I use this time to come back to myself, recenter. What do I want to do today in this day? What do I want to bring to the world? These are the questions that I bring up usually in the meditation. And then I just use that during the day sometimes and remind myself, sometimes putting it in the calendar. So like, oh, I wanted to meditate because I didn't make it in the morning.
Oh, so when you don't have the time in the morning, you put it as a reminder. That is a cool tip. I do believe also in the idea of doing just 5 minutes of something, although it's not the same, just to keep the routine going. Because there's this thing in our head, when we skip a day or 2 days of something, we tend to tell ourselves, not everybody maybe, but some of us who are very self-critical, we tend to tell ourselves, wow, see, you cannot even stick to something you like. You're already skipping days. You're going to skip even more now. I started to convince myself I'm going to fail at keeping it because I just skipped it. And then obviously I'm not like encouraged anyhow to continue. So instead of doing this, I do yoga, for example. And when I skip a day, and my first impulse is like, see, already, like, you just can't stick to a thing. Like, look at you. It's been only 2 weeks and you already have a skip day. I acknowledge that voice. I almost like look at myself, almost like there's another human in me. Look at my voice and tell my voice, it's going to be all right. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I want to. It's good for me. It's going to be fine. One relapse is not the end of the story. The story will continue.
Awesome. Yeah, but what I hear there, it's completely the mind. It's completely like the chatter in the mind that convinces you, that drags you down, that some beliefs that want to pull you down that you acquired at some point. And for me, whenever those things happen now, I'm like, okay, I guess I need to meditate or need to dance or get over this, because this is, I know it's the mind that got trained in that way, that I know have those thinking patterns, but some things just fade again. It's a thought. It's fading. It's just going away. There was like, I had so much pain at some point when sitting for so long, and then I had a thought coming up and it was like, oh, that's really important. And then I came back to the pain and I was like, oh wait, I didn't notice that the pain was suddenly gone, even though it's one of the worst pains in my life. And I was like, what the hell is this thing, even the mind and pain? And then became everything very, very relative. So whatever the mind is saying, it's like, do I believe this? Is that something that really helps me and suits me? And if not, I always come back to myself, to the heart again. It's like, okay, is that me? Is that connecting to my vision? Is that who I actually am? Or is that just some sort of mind chatter that I picked up along my upbringing or somewhere?
This is so important. Such a good reminder that not every thought you have is important. And not every thought you have is true. Just, it's just not. And we tend to believe our brain automatically. Like if my brain tells me I'm lazy or I'm going to skip another day or I'm incapable of doing something, it must be true, right? There is no such law. There is no such thing. It's just our brain having a chatter.
Yeah, it's always there, right? And it feels like it has our voice. It sounds like us.
Yeah.
But it's not. Yeah. it's not. It's I think there becomes maybe also a little bit deep now if you think further about it. Okay, who are you? So there are many different layers that you can go into like, oh, am I the mind? Am I the body? Am I the soul? Am I the spirit? Whatever for you is there. And when you then try to crystallize and pull it out, it's like, oh, I'm for sure not the mind, because I'm changing it all the time, and it's somehow all the things, the stories that I picked up from my parents and some experience that makes sense. But like for 80-90% of the time, it's I'm not the mind. Am I the feelings? It's like, yeah, sometimes I feel like, oh, I am this. I feel like I'm alive. I can be myself right now. Those things come up and I feel. And sometimes you feel bad for no reason. You feel sad. And now I also notice that when I'm in big crowds and when a lot of people are around me, I notice I pick up on their feelings as well. So when they're sad around me or angry, I at some point also get angry. Or when somebody next to me is nervous, I'm like, why do I feel nervous right now?
The mirror neurons.
Exactly. Yes, that's one thing. And yes, so a lot of it becomes really difficult to really find the essence. And there, it's just a continuous process to reevaluate. Okay, am I this? Does that feel true to me? Is that who I want to be, or is that who I am? And it's like, okay, let's reassess this again. Let's journal about it. And it's literally like for the last, I don't know, I think it started like 8 years ago to have this process. Why am I here for? Who am I? Like this process of continuous reiterating of who I am.
I had a breakthrough during my cognitive neuroscience course. When you study cognitive neuroscience, obviously you study the brain as different parts. We have different brains. You have the prefrontal cortex, that is like the thinking brain. Then you have the limbic system, which is the emotional brain, right? And when I thought about it, I'm like, that makes sense. So sometimes I operate on my emotional brain. Sometimes I operate on my thinking brain. It is just all parts of the same thing, but obviously because we are complex enough to not be a robot that is consistent and the same every single day. Of course, it's going to show up different parts of the brain on different occasions. And just kind of looking at it from this perspective, I kind of got at peace that sometimes I'll be more emotional or more rational. And it's just trying to keep some balance between it. And you have your consciousness, your prefrontal cortex. Nature has developed your capacity to think and reflect. I at least stopped criticizing myself for being impulsive and emotional, because I used to. I used to be like, hey, you're this educated person who is smart, who reflects on things. And when you're calm and when you are with your thinking brain, you're so rational. How come you cannot keep it all the time? And I was like, it's not possible. This would literally mean cancel out one part of my brain, my limbic system, which also cannot be healthy.
And the interesting thing also about our thoughts is like where they're coming from. And quite often there are just rationalizations of the feelings that we actually have. So when we have feelings, we try to rationalize, okay, where is it coming from? I'm probably angry because this person did that to me, or I'm feeling like joyful because of that reason. And then you make up reasons where in fact you could just feel the feeling, but there needs to be always a reason for it. So you rationalize a lot of things. So it's the thinking brain is a fantastic tool. And the quote that I noticed I use all the time now is the mind is a great servant, but a bad leader. So what that basically means is the mind is really, really awesome at solving problems, at finding solutions, at figuring things out. It's great for that. But when it comes to going in a specific direction, when it comes to creating your life's vision, when it comes to being a great person, a great human being, then I trust my heart, because that really knows things. That really has this inner wisdom of generations of humans that, oh, wait, I know what's good. I know what feels right. We use that quite often. It feels right to me. We cannot explain it, but it feels right. And that's exactly the thing when coming back to, okay, does it feel right to me or does it feel bad to me? And that's what I try now to come back to over and over again. It's really hard because I was really trained in thinking. In my family, my upbringing was not much about talking about emotions or something present. So now I'm really in this process of getting to know my feelings, of noticing when off center, when I notice, okay, that's my feelings, that feels right to me, or when I'm just guided by thoughts, because I learned that at some point.
You said that you use meditation to remind yourself how you feel and kind of stay in that feeling or explore that feeling mode and what's going on, where it's coming from. Well, maybe not so much where it's coming from, because that's thinking already, I guess, right? So just feeling it and being present with it, being okay with it. How do you help another person get there? Because we are all so well taught to think, like most of us being thinkers or trying to be thinkers. And when we do have emotions, we tend to criticize being emotional, being impulsive, being that and that. Like, let's try to be wiser about our behavior. Let's try to be more rational about what we do, right? And for the most part, this is a good thing, as long as it's internalized and you know why you're doing it, where are you going with this, right? But how do you start as a coach with a person who wants to be more mindful and just begin this, but they're preoccupied with their thoughts and they don't even know where to start from.
Hmm. That's cool. Because also recently this Monday I had another person in a meditation course or session that was like, I don't know what to do with meditation, but I tried it now twice and still don't know what to get out of it and was very skeptical about it. And so exactly that thing. I was like, okay, where do we start? We start with, when do you have moments that you actually feel that? When you have moments that you feel a bit more present, not like ultimately like monk presence, but just more present, right? I as a coach was, I'm always asking for, because I believe that you have all the skills and strength that you need in order to tackle the challenge that you're facing, at least to get yourself on the way. And so what I'm asking then is, okay, when where's this skill that you know that's already moving you a bit closer in that direction? And so for some people, it's going with the dog, it's doing yoga, it's just being in the car ride for 3 hours and just being focused on driving. It can be anything, literally. Just brings you a bit more into the present moment. And literally starting with that and noticing, okay, how does that feel? Getting a bit closer, getting a feel of how is that? And what I usually now do, I think almost every meditation session is starting with the breath, because the breath is like the quickest tool to your parasympathetic nervous system to calm it down. And when you do deep diaphragmatic breathing into your belly, you can let your body know subconsciously, almost, because you cannot really influence the parasympathetic autonomous nervous system. That's why it's autonomous, right? Mm. But through the breath, you actually can a little bit. And when you just breathe deep into your belly, slow down, especially the exhale, then you can send your body the signal of winding down, getting slower. And so that's what I do right now. Either I use the box breathing, like breathing in for 4 seconds, holding, breathing out for four, holding again for four, or it's 4-7-8. So breathing in for 4 seconds, holding the breath for seven and breathing out for eight. And that usually slows you down so much. So if you do that 3-4 rounds, you're like, okay, I'm really relaxed. And that's really nice. That's a nice starting position, because if you're still like very fast in your brain and say, now I want to slow down and relax, now I meditate. And then your brain is like, wait, I'm still fast. How do you want me to stop now suddenly? And so I use the breath to get into the state. And then I usually, I think it's really nice to have guided meditation actually in the beginning. And what I like to do is either to focus on the breath. And there are a couple of ways that I go about it, which is focus on really on the inflection point from inhale to exhale, just to focus on that point. Like, okay, when does it change from inhale to exhale and when from exhale to inhale? Just to have a point to focus on and to notice any sensation. And the other thing is also what I heard people liking a lot when they're in the mind is, what's the next thought? And so basically when you meditate, you have thoughts coming up. That's natural. That's happening all the time. It's normal. But when you're aware of, or just curious about, oh, what's the next thought that's coming up? It's a lot harder for you to follow with the other thought and just be distracted with it. And so just being curious about, okay, brain, what are you giving me next? Basically, what stupid idea did you come up with next? And that seemed to help quite a lot of people as well. So I sometimes bring that in, but also then the other direction and just see what fits you, I guess, is bringing in a body scan. So bringing your attention to the sensation of your body, bringing towards feeling. You can either do with feelings but sensations are usually easier to relax your jaw, your shoulders, and then just noticing. Maybe you can notice some cold, some warmth. You can notice the texture on your body, like your clothes, and just go through your body from top to bottom, from bottom to top, whatever you like. And just notice any sensation that's there. And that usually got me really trippy when I noticed like my hands, oh, it's so tingly. So I notice everything. Stuff feels interesting when I suddenly touch it. That was sort of my first experience. And my parents were like, oh, wow, he's going crazy now. But he's tripping. So that was sort of the first experiences that I had with it. And it was usually very interesting and usually helps me to really get out of my mind, because I'm just curious about any sensation that's coming up. And so mostly those two ways I use for beginners to get deeper into meditation and to not follow the mind all the time.
As a natural thinker, usually here I ask, hey, what's next? Because I kind of like, if I get myself calmer, right? I've tried this body check, for example. It really works, by the way. It does.
Mm-hmm.
And actually here I want to mention how many times we know we have the knowledge of something and we don't do it because we think that this sounds like, it just doesn't sound real, doesn't sound serious. So we don't try it. And we don't try it, but we convince ourselves it doesn't work because it doesn't sound reliable. And then we can carry on believing this for years before we give it a chance, a real chance. And another thing I hear from people is when they say, oh, I've tried this, it doesn't work. Yeah, once. Yeah.
I mean, and maybe not for you. It's still a possibility that you just don't like it. That's not for you.
But I love to say to respond to this with like, the first time you tried to get up and walk, it didn't work out for you either. But you didn't have a voice in your head, criticizing voice in your head, telling you, this is not going to work. I don't have the skills. I don't need that. I'm not going to be good at that. Like this criticizing voice, we learn. Before we learned it, we were explorers and we wanted to try different things. And when we try them, eventually, the longer you try something, I'm a true believer that you can learn anything if you actually do it consistently and give some focus and some time to the activity. But my point with this was that when you do the meditation with, like, let's say, body check, and you actually focus on that, at some point I reach my head and I'm kind of like, okay, I'm kind of finishing the body. And then my thought goes, what's next? What should I do now? And I'm like starting questioning myself, was it too fast? Was I supposed to like to spend longer time, or was I supposed to breathe longer, or did I do it wrong? And then I'm 20 minutes into overthinking what just happened.
I feel you. Happened so many times.
Really?
So is that the right thing? Am I doing this right now? Should I feel something else? When do I have those mystical experience during meditations? When do I finally feel like one with everything? When do I feel like super centered and zen? And when does that come? Like, am I doing this right now? It's like all the time.
It's such a relief to hear from somebody who is meditating for 3 years now consistently that they still know what that feeling is. Because, you know, sometimes when you become an expert and people look at you, they think you don't have struggles anymore. Maybe a monk can, like a person who's truly isolated from all the distractions in the world and all the daily business, like that be as normal, let's say normal people have. Unless you're isolated from all of this, I don't think you can ever reach a point where you're just perfectly peaceful every day.
That would be fucking boring.
Yeah, right. I even like want to go and ask a monk, actually, are you, even you who are isolated and at peace, even you, do you reach such a point? And what form?
Yeah, so I talked.
What does it give you?
Yeah, this year I was in Thailand in the monastery and asked them, like, oh, okay, do you still have those struggles? And like, yeah, of course.
They do?
It's still normal. But they also said it's way easier to be in a good mood or in a better mood or just feel good when you are secluded from all those distractions and all those happenings and news around the world. And there's so much like information just jumping onto you and your brain is going completely mad trying to process everything. And when you're there, it was for him, like the one that I talked to, it was a lot easier for him to feel good, to have this sense of love and peace for the other people. And it is easier, but it's not like possible to continuously always have that.
What do you tell yourself after so long? And I can imagine maybe even you have that criticism, or maybe not. Actually, that's a question. Do you sometimes criticize yourself for still having issues? Do you tell yourself sometimes, I've been doing this for 3 years. I'm not supposed to still have that problem. I was supposed to overcome it at some point. Do you even have this, or you're at peace with the imperfections?
That's a very interesting question. So right at the moment you ask me right now, I don't. Because recently I mentioned I had the ayahuasca experience, And that really showed me how everything is exactly how it should be right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly, you should have this right now. It's perfect right now as it is. And when you look at the world from that point, even like the thing that we label as the worst thing in the world is exactly how it should be right now. And the struggle that you go through is exactly the one you need to go through in order to, for you to transcend that, to go through it, to experience it. Because you're here to really experience and create things. That's what we do as humans, right? We experience a lot of emotions, a lot of things happening around us, and we create things, and we do things for ourselves, for others. I think when we are ourselves, we try to impact others positively as well. And so right now, I had a lot of self-doubt before the experience, and now I do not, which is a very relieving feeling. It's really, really nice to just really trust the exact thing that's happening right now is happening for a reason. And I do not have to like judge myself for it. As long as I stay out of the mind, that's not happening. And it's very, very interesting what's happening if you let go of any expectations and judgment that you have towards especially yourself. So right now, because it was recent, it was like 3-4 weeks ago.
Mm.
I can say right now I don't, but it's probably creeping in soon.
Or maybe not. Don't think about it. Don't think it's going to come back. You'll provoke, you know, the thought will build up. And
if so, then it should happen.
Okay. Okay. This is interesting.
But it's very interesting, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because I do believe in the idea of it's all a journey, right? And it could sound vague to people, you know, when you say it's about the journey, not a destination. But actually, when you look at it on a very practical level, let's say goals, right? It is not about the final goal, because the moment you achieve a goal, you're happy for 5 minutes, and then you want a next thing, and then you want a next thing, and you want a next thing. So when you go back to, you know, memories, you don't remember that tiny little bit about achieving a goal. Maybe you do remember a success story or something, but what you mostly remember is the path, the things you did, the people you met, and the whole process. That's what you really stay with. And I'm 100% sure, well, 99% sure, that at the end of, you know, my life, I'll be looking at the whole process, not just like this today, like one or two events, big events. It's gonna be like this whole journey, right? And here the audio was so bad that I had to re-record something, so the sound is gonna be a bit different. But back to my thought. Anyway, let me not go into destiny and purpose of life right now. I wanted actually to say another thing here, and this is how you manage to express your opinion very often without really imposing it on the other person. This is something I really like about you and talking with you on different topics, that even though we may disagree, you always somehow say it in a way that doesn't feel aggressive or arguing. I think the right way to say it is that you have the skill to present your opinion without judging the other person's opinion. And it's very nice.
Yeah, I heard that many times already.
Yeah, well,
indeed. Yeah,
we
that's cool. I like that though.
How did you learn that,
because
skill, Julian?
I think it actually comes from, I needed to learn to express my perspective, because I was quite often taking in the other perspective as the truth and was not sharing my perspective, because I was like, oh, that sort of makes sense, then I have to take it because it made sense logically.
Mm-hmm.
If another person had it, like, logically making sense. And I guess I'm usually not the person to like correct you and say, no, that's wrong. That's one of my things of like avoiding conflict, to not confront other people with it. But I think, so I really need to learn to create my own perspectives, and then just what I want to do is placing them next to the other person and not saying yours is wrong, mine is right, but placing it next to each other and seeing, hey, where's the overlap? Where can we agree on things? How can we expand both of our perspectives? And I think that's awesome. I really, really want to do that more, because a lot of people, it seems like, especially with Twitter, with short messages, with Instagram, is like you can only share so many words. And then you need to do it black and white in order for people to understand it. But if you then bring in this other perspective and put it next to each other, that's why I love podcasting a lot more, putting it next to each other, it's a lot more adding things rather than deleting or distracting things. Distracting things from each other. So I love that a lot more. Sort of create something new together from both of our perspectives, because both are neither wrong or right. And together we can create something new with it. And I think that's awesome. That's why I love podcasting. That's why I said in the beginning, hey, let's have a conversation rather than just an interview, because something else can emerge from our conversation that I could not possibly have just said when we just had an interview.
Yeah, I love that perspective. It's really kind of growing, because you see even disagreement or like opposite opinions as just an opportunity to learn a bit or to expand your vision and just open the doors, instead of like, no, it's not mine, so it's wrong, and that's the end of it. Definitely more, in a way, more productive way to talk with people. I'm gonna bring the productivity again, but yeah, it is in a way more productive way to have a conversation.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And I think like that is hopefully, that's my hope, the vision for the future, that we can speak more acknowledging the other person's perspective and create then something together, like a better version of the world that we have currently. And so currently I'm having the idea to go further in and, okay, how can I create a platform or create some form of connection or exchange that we can have exactly this? Putting perspectives next to each other, seeing what we need in order to move on, move to a high level of consciousness, move to further to develop the human race, and maybe, possibly save the planet.
Now we're talking about ambition.
That's even possible still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is quite ambitious, but interesting and exciting as well. I look forward to like see what you come up with and where this idea goes, in which direction. And are you thinking about having a different topic for a podcast with this, or just completely different platform?
No, I'll see it. I think it can take many shapes. One is probably going to be a podcast, but it's far bigger than that. So yeah, I guess it is ambitious, but it's nice to have this sort of vision for, hey, maybe it can. And I'm not saying that I will change that. I'm just saying, I think it would be cool for me. I would like to contribute to that and bring in other people that, because in order to make a good and substantial impact, you need a lot of different people with different backgrounds, with different ideas and different things that they think we need right now to improve the world. And so one possibly cannot do that. So that comes back to this. One perspective cannot solve all the complex problems and issues that we have. And so the only way to actually move forward is to bring in people and experts with a positive and future forward thinking ability to think what is the best way to improve the world, and then sort of map and put all of these ideas together and see how we can move closer to that vision in that direction. Almost like a coaching trajectory for the whole world.
Yeah.
Bringing in perspectives, picking out what's needed and going towards the vision that we hold for ourselves.
I love it. And I, as a person who believes in community versus individualism, I just love people who, I love when people share that idea for unity and community, and just remember that people are social creatures. We are better together. We are meant to help each other. We are meant to live together and be part of something together, not like this capitalistic, individualistic Western society world where the more we teach ourselves to be to ourselves, the more mental issues we create, the more isolation and loneliness and disconnection we create. And it brings me hope in a way, and inspiration when I talk with people and I see that it's not just me, and there are others out there who do want to go back to the nature of human being, which is social, which is community and helping, because truth is, and even research has shown this, that you are happier when you help another person, when you do, when you feel like your presence, your skills contribute to another human being, you feel better about yourself, much better than when you just feel like you are only contributing to yourself, right? And I will never get tired of reminding this and telling this to people, that they need to just look at what they can do for others if they want to improve their mood, for example, instead of all the time thinking, what can I do for myself to make myself feel better? Just do something. Do somebody a favor. Enjoy the good mood. Enjoy the dopamine. Enjoy the serotonin. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I totally agree with that. I do feel like that at the moment, the society is moving from one level of consciousness to another one. There's chaos right now happening. So how can we use this to create then some better version of ourselves, of our human beings for the future? And by no means we will like soon be perfect or anything in that direction, but just the idea of creating a vision for the future of the human race to be a little bit better than we are right now is, I don't know, very exciting to me.
Yeah, I think first we can talk forever, so it's a good idea to wrap it up a bit. But here, I believe it's a good way to end this with our definitions of mindfulness. To me, mindfulness, for example, is to be mindful is to reflect on who you are, what your skills are, and how you can use who you are and your skills to do something out there. Be mindful to me is kind of understanding yourself and understanding your true purpose, in a way. Not true purpose in that destiny manner, but more about your capacity, your skills, and what you can do, because everybody can do something. What is for you?
That's wonderful. I think I would strip it even a bit further away, because it's the true meaning of mindfulness is, or like if you strip away like mind and full, like it seems like you're full, your mind is pretty full. Many, I don't know,
at least
it has
English.
A lot of things going on in there. And I think it's quite the opposite. So mindfulness to me means a little bit more like being present in the moment and being aware of who you are. That's why I meant a little bit stripping away from what you said. And I think for me, it's just really being aware with who you are and with what you're with right now, like what's around you right now. Because once we start being in the mind, we are then in the past and the future. Our mind cannot be present, right? And so when we're mindful, I see that as I'm aware, I'm present, I know who I am, or I know who I am right now, and I know who's surrounding me right now, who I'm with, what's here. Yeah.
I love it. I'm just like absorbing what you said.
Take it in. Yes. Take in whatever you need. I don't know what you take from it. My intention was to say something, and I hope you heard something, or everybody else as well who's listening. So all of the things that I guess I said are my perspective, and it's very interesting what resonates with you and what doesn't. And it's not about me, it's about you. So whatever I say and whatever clicks or resonates with you is about you. And I'm just happy for you that if something clicked or if something resonated, that you take something with it.
Thank you. I really always feel somehow richer after talking with you, because we just have these meaningful conversations that they make me think, reflect, and just hear you as well. And I, after that, I feel like I gained some unit of wisdom, I would say, or like reflection. This little add, like it's like a bulb, what you are, right? And our conversations kind of add to it, and it's just wonderful feeling.
Thank you so much for hosting this. This was amazing. I'm glad you guided me so nicely through everything, and we're really like created the nice space for this conversation to happen. So thank you for that.
I will make sure to invite Julian again at least once for talking about the journaling, because I think this is something we could also explore together, and to hear about this new project when it's more present and he's willing to share more about it. I look forward to hear more about it. Take your time. I believe it's going to be wonderful at the end, and we'll talk about it when the time comes.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, this is then the end of today's episode. I hope we also, whoever is listening right now, could resonate with some of this and made you feel a bit better or think, or just made some positive difference in your day-to-day. And yeah, I'll talk to you next Monday.